Amen. So there's four names of Jesus we're going to look at this morning. Jesus, Christ, Son of David, and Son of Abraham. Let's pray. Lord, give us wisdom, guide us in your truth, use your word to bless our hearts. And Lord, most of all, may we lift you up and glorify you in this time in your word. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus, where do we begin? It's in the New Testament almost 1,000 times. And it is the Greek equivalent of the Old Testament name Joshua or Jehoshua. That's the official name of Joshua, is Jehoshua, which means Jehovah is salvation or Jehovah saves. And so it is the Joshua in the Old Testament became Jesus in the New Testament in the Greek. And he, of course, here is in this verse named by Gabriel, right? We see that down in verse 16, Mr. Scott, in verse 21, if you could read those two verses. And verse 21 of Matthew 1.
Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who was called Christ.
And 21.
And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.
So this is when Gabriel the angel met Mary and said, this is what you will name him, Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So for us, it means primarily Savior, but it is, again, the Old Testament continuation of Jehoshua, which means Jehovah is salvation or Jehovah saves. The book that has the name the most times, anybody want to guess? It's one of the Gospels, if that helps. Which one of the Gospels do you think has the name Jesus 251 times?
John.
Good work, Brent. The book of John has the name Jesus more than any other book in the New Testament. It is in the first and the last verse of the New Testament. So could you read the last verse in the New Testament, Howard? I didn't write down the reference, but whatever the last verse is, read that one. I think it's 22:21 of Revelation. So notice his name appears in the first and last verse of the New Testament. And it's very often combined with other names, which we'll talk about. It's Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, Lord Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus Christ our Lord, Jesus Christ our Savior. We'll be talking about these different ones. But this is the name, amen, above all names. If you were to go through our hymnal, it would definitely be the name that would appear the most in the hymnals. It's the name Jesus. That is our Savior. And it's only through him, if you go to Acts chapter 4, verses 10 to 12. Roy, are you here? Yeah. Could you read those for us? Acts chapter 4, verses 10 to 12. It's only through this name that mankind can find salvation. Amen. Isn't that a beautiful verse? I hope most of you memorized Acts 4:12. There is none other name. That's a good phrase, isn't it? None other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Which is Jesus. It means Savior. He is the Savior. He came to save. Look at 1 Timothy 1:15 and we'll see this. Mr. Zeus, could you read that for us, 1 Timothy 1:15?
This is the faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation,
Why did he come into the world? To save sinners. Amen. That's what his name means. Savior. He came to save. Hallelujah. And we must confess with our mouth. Most of us wrote, no, Romans 10:9, but let's look at it. Cash, if you could read that for us. Romans 10:9 and 10. Very familiar passage for those presenting the Romans road, as they call it. So Romans 10:9 and 10. Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Amen. You can't be saved unless you're willing to confess the Lord Jesus. That he's the Lord, which of course we'll be talking about, but that he's also Jesus. He is the only Savior. Jesus Christ is the only Savior. Now the Bible says, James, if you would read Isaiah 43:11, that Jehovah is the only Savior. So, another proof of the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you could read that, James.
I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior.
So notice, Jehovah says, and that's all caps, L-O-R-D, which means it's the Hebrew name Jehovah. I am Jehovah, and beside me there is no Savior. We get to the New Testament, and Jesus is the Savior. Amen? Which means he has to be the only Savior, Jehovah. And this is the name of all names, the name Jesus. Paul preached in this name. Look at Acts 9:29. Brandon, if you could read that for us, Acts 9:29. He spake boldly in the name of Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? Boldly in the name of Jesus. Let's sing a song. 156. We'll do it a cappella. Just to get it stuck in our heads. Amen? Yeah, that's what I love about the hymns. You get one stuck in your head in the morning and it sticks there all day long. Wow. Do we have any piano players in here? Probably not. I'm going to hit an F, okay? Just so we get, so we don't end up too high. Ready? There have been names that I have loved to hear. Are you guys going to sing with me, or am I on my own here? Then we're just going to do the chorus, because I'm not going to stand up here and do a solo, all right? So, that's the chorus, okay? You ready? Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and he's just the same as his lovely name. And that's the reason why I love him so. Oh, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Is that like a new hymn for some of you? Well, good. No wonder. Then we got to do it again. You ready? The chorus. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and he's just the same as his lovely name. And that's the reason why I love him so. Oh, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Maybe that'll be stuck in your head all day. Amen. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Look at Acts 15:26. We won't know till we get to heaven how many people have died for this name. Amen. But there's literally going to be probably millions. So Brad, could you read that for us, Acts 15:26?
Him that have hazarded their lives for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hazarded their lives for the name Do you see that? For the name. They've hazarded their lives for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then look at Acts 21:13, the Apostle Paul. The same thing, Kelvin, if you could read that for us, Acts 21:13. He says, I'm ready to die for the name. Do you see that? I am ready to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. That is the name. The name above all names. And if we look at Colossians 3:17, the Bible says we're to do all in His name. Isaiah, could you read that for us? Colossians 3:17. Do all in the name. You know, when we read these verses, we also often don't catch that word name, do we? But it says, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And that's what we're talking about, is the names of our Savior. We're to do things in His name. We're to be willing to die for His name. And at one point in the future, Philippians 2:10, let's turn there, Mr. Scott, every knee will bow to this name. Philippians 2:10.
And at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth.
So what are they going to bow to? At the name of Jesus. That verse, Jesus alone. At the name of Jesus, every knee, things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, every knee will bow at the name of Jesus. Much better to bow now, amen, than at the great white throne judgment when you'll be cast into the lake of fire. But every knee shall bow at the name of Jesus Christ. What a beautiful name. Almost 1,000 times in the New Testament is the name Jesus. At least 975 are referring to Him. There's a couple of times when the name is used for another person, which does happen. And I used to live very close to the Mexican border. And you know what? Want to know what the most common name is for guys in Mexico? Jesus. Jesus and Mary are the two most common names because it's a Catholic country. But Jesus is just the Spanish way of saying Jesus. Imagine your name being Jesus. I would kind of be uncomfortable with it myself, but it's just a thing. Jesus Christ. So any thoughts before we move on to the name Christ? But these two names together say everything, don't they? That Jehovah saves, and that Jesus, the Christ, or the Messiah, is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies, all wrapped up in the name Jesus Christ. So thoughts or questions about the name Jesus before we move on to the name Christ? No one? Not one thought.
It's just what you were saying about the fulfillment of the Old Testament promises. I mean, that's what separates our faith from many of these other, you know, the imitations. That we've got scripture to back up historical, you know, all these records, and scripture is known for just referring back to an established fact. So that name, as you said, is given among men today. It's given and it's been declared by angels. There's no other name like that.
Amen. Praise God. So the second name we see here in this verse, Matthew 1:1, is the name Christ. This appears in the New Testament 571 times. So this is also a very common name for our Lord, the name Christ. It means Messiah. It means anointed. It is a declaration, if you look at Hebrews 1:9, that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the many, many prophecies of the coming Messiah or anointed one, for Israel. So Howard, if you could read for us Hebrews 1:9.
Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy bowels.
So you see that word anointed? If you go back to Psalm 2:2, which we've looked at, one of the messianic psalms, this is actually quoting Hebrews 1:9, Psalms 2:2. Actually, it's not Psalm 2:2, is it? I put a wrong reference there. Oh, well, if somebody can find it, maybe it's Psalm 22. Maybe I just wrote down the wrong reference.
Pastor, it is.
Oh, it is Psalm 2:2? Oh, yes. Sorry, it jumped over to the other page. Oh, yes. And the rulers take counsel against the Lord and against his anointed. So who is the anointed? That's Jesus. Amen. He is the anointed one, which is the kind of the basic meaning of Messiah, the anointed one. And Christ is the New Testament equivalent of the name Messiah. If we go to John 1:41, we'll see this. Brent, if you could read that for us. John 1:41.
He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ.
But now we know what the Bible interprets it for us. Christ means Messiah. And Jesus Christ is that Messiah. If you look at Matthew 16:16, we'll see it again. Roy, if you could read those. Matthew 16:16 and 16:20. Jesus the Christ. So Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah that had been promised for thousands of years to the Jewish people. And in Acts 9:22, Paul spent a lot of time when he would go into a city. The first place he would go was to the synagogue, even though he was the apostle to the Gentiles and planted Gentile churches, he would always first go to the synagogue and reach out to his own flesh and blood, the Jews. And notice here in Acts 9:22, but Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews, which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. So Paul would do his best to prove to the Jewish people that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the promised one of the Old Testament, the Messiah. And John tells us, if you go to John 20:31, Mr. Zeus, if you could read that for us, that that's one of the reasons why he wrote his gospel. John chapter 20 and verse 31. These are written, these chapters that I've written are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ and that you, and the Son of God, which we'll be talking about. But Jesus is the Christ. Amen. Now, Jesus prophesied when the tribulation period comes, and we're getting close to that, aren't we? Here in Matthew 24, verse 24, verse 23, that there would be people between then and now, who would claim to be a Christ or a Messiah, a sent one, an anointed one. Jesus told us in advance this was going to happen, didn't he? So, Brandon, if you could read 23 to 24 of Matthew 24.
So much that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect.
So there will come, and that's already happened. There's been people already in the past 2,000 years that have claimed to be a Christ, claimed to be a Messiah, a sent anointed one from God, come to rescue God's people and so forth. He says, believe it not. Believe it not. When the true Christ returns to the earth, there will be no question who he is. Amen? Because the Bible says the whole world shall see him. He will come back with a two-edged sword, and he will destroy nations, he will judge, and he will set up his kingdom. There will be no question that it is the true Christ. So when we go out and share the gospel with the lost, we're trying to convince them to become a what? Anybody? A Christian? Amen? Christian. I wonder where we got that name. It says in Acts 11:26, if you want to turn there, where we got the name. And on the 25th of December, what do we celebrate? Christmas. Amen? Acts 11, verse 26 is when it all started, this name. And when they had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. So not Jerusalem, but in Antioch, this name was first adopted, if you will, for believers in Jesus, the name Christians. And it stuck pretty good, didn't it? Because here we are 2,000 years later, and we call ourselves Christians. Amen? Which has the root base name Christ. So Jesus Christ, the two most prominent names of our Savior in the Scriptures, Jesus Christ. And now we know the deeper meaning. Jehovah saves, and the Messiah, the Anointed One. The fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies. Thoughts or questions before we move on to Son of David? Anybody? So again, Matthew 1:1 presents four names of our Savior. We've looked at Jesus, we've looked at Christ, and the third one there in name number 29 in our study is the Son of David. Why is that important, anybody? Anybody remember why that's important? Yes, Brent.
Because of the branch, he's the branch back through that descendant of David.
And why did it have to be David? Anybody? Yep. That's right. So let's look at that Davidic covenant in 2 Samuel chapter 7. And so to be the anointed one, to be the promised one, Jesus had to be the son of David. And as we'll see, the son of Abraham, which makes him a Jew. 2 Samuel chapter 7, God gave a promise to David, a beautiful promise that still is true today, here in 2 Samuel 7. It says, and thine house, verse 16, and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. So from that point on, the Jews knew that whoever came, whoever was the sent one, the anointed one, had to have David in their lineage to be the true fulfillment of the Old Testament. And that is why the New Testament starts off, first verse, Son of David. He's the son of David. And if you look at Isaiah 9:7, most of us know Isaiah 9:6, which is Handel's Messiah, which talks about his deity. But the next verse talks about his kingdom. Notice it says, Isaiah 9:7, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of who? David. and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. So the child who would be born in verse 6, who would be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, would also set up a throne or a kingdom, and it would be the throne of David. So Jesus Christ had to be a descendant of David to be the true fulfillment and to be the true Christ. If you look at Mark 12:35, I forgot whose turn it is. Is it your turn, Brent?
Not sure.
Go ahead. We'll do a reset. Mark 12:35.
And Jesus answered and said, while he talked in the temple, how say you describe that Christ is the son of David?
So there's that word Christ, which means Messiah. He says, how say, and he's using their own teachings against them, isn't he? He's saying, how say the scribes, and these scribes that you're following, that keep writing all this extra stuff and telling you what the Bible should teach rather than just what it says, how say that the Christ is the son of David? David himself said by the Holy Ghost, verse 36, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. David therefore himself calleth him Lord. And whence is he then his son? He's trying to get them to think. How is it that the Messiah could refer to David as his ancestor? In other words, he could be a son of David, but at the same time be David's Lord. How could he be both? Well, how? Well, because Jesus was born of a virgin, because he was God, amen, and he was God in the flesh. So he is our Lord, but in the flesh, he is a descendant of David, but he's David's Lord. Now, did they get it? Of course not. They did not get it. But in Luke chapter 1, when the birth of Jesus was announced, and verse 31 and 32, this is the angel Gabriel. In verse 31 is when he instructs Mary to call him Jesus, right? But look, verse 32, and he shall be great and should be called the Son of the Highest. So he's not only Jehovah saves, but he's also the Son of God. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. So David's his father, but David's also, or Jesus is also David's Lord. So there it is again. His name will be Jesus, but he will be given the throne of his father David. So here the angel is explaining that the one who's about to be born has always been, that his name would be Jehovah Saves, and that he would one day be given David's throne that was promised in 2 Samuel chapter 7. So he had to be the son of David to be the true fulfillment of the Old Testament Davidic covenant. And then in Acts chapter 2, verse 29, we'll see it one last time. Roy, if you could read Acts 2, 29 to 31. So do you see that the fruit of his loins, so there's the earthly connection through Mary, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, David's throne. So there Paul is trying to explain, or sorry, Peter is trying to explain to these Jews that the Christ, the anointed one, is a descendant of David and will one day be given the throne of David, And, of course, he even here speaks of his resurrection, which happened not long before Acts chapter 2, Peter's first big sermon. So Jesus Christ, the Son of David. Thoughts or questions before we close? Yes, Sonia. Amen. Jesus is a Jew. The Bible's Jewish. The apostles were Jewish. The kingdom will be Jewish. We just get grafted in. Amen. Any other thoughts or questions? Jesus Christ, the Son of David. Next week we'll look at the Son of Abraham and move on into Matthew and look at more names of our Savior.